Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet.
Prime Minister Trudeau identified that his government is committed to planting 2 billion trees over the next 10 years. And certainly we've heard from other jurisdictions around the world very large targets of tree planting. And I think it's just fantastic that there's been so much focus and attention and awareness of how important our forest is and how important it is to establish new forests. And certainly as we see climate change progressing, people recognize that planting trees is a pretty effective way to sequester carbon and in part address climate change. It's not the one magic bullet, but it certainly can add a lot to addressing the climate change demands right now and on making sure that we're sequestering as much CO2 out of the atmosphere as possible.
That's the voice of Rob Keane, CEO of Forest Ontario, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the reforestation of lands across Canada and specifically in the province of Ontario, encouraging landowners to help combat the ravages of deadly fires, disease, and the effects of climate change by planting trees. As administrators of the Government of Ontario's 50 million tree program, Forest Ontario has planted more than 33 million trees across the province over the last 10 years. I spoke to Rob at his office in Toronto. Rob, welcome to Earth Matters, and let's just jump right in and explain what Forests Ontario is.
Thanks very much, Lawson. It's a real pleasure to be speaking with you this morning. Forests Ontario is a not-for-profit charity, and we really focus on ensuring healthy forests for our future. And we do that through three main areas of focus, one being tree planting, and that's tree planting areas that haven't had trees on them for some time. Called afforestation, and it's for the whole point of developing and creating new forests. And we work with partners right across Canada to help us do that. And those partners include some other NGOs, certainly some conservation authorities, consultants, stewardship groups, First Nations, and such. That we work with them to provide funding to them to reduce landowner costs to plant trees on landowners' properties. So that's a great program. We've been doing that since 2004. And to date have planted over 33 million trees across Canada with our various programs. We also work with youth and through our forestry education programs. And I always look at it as we plant trees, but we have to encourage our youth and expose our youth to the environment and the outdoors and all the fantastic things that our forests provide. And hopefully create a passion with our youth that they will want to, you know, when they in their career, want to care for our forests and care for our environment. And so we create opportunities for our youth to be outdoors and learn more about trees and the importance of trees. And then again, hopefully long term, some of them will gain that passion to pursue a career in the environment or even forestry itself. And finally, the last area that we focus on is around community engagement and getting the public in general to understand how important our forests are, all the things that our forests provide. And certainly the fact that we have some of the best managed forests here in Ontario and certainly across Canada, and something we should be proud of. Certainly we have the best sustainably managed forests and all the values that our forests provide, including providing sustainably produced wood products, is again something that we should be extremely proud of and be able to talk to folks about that and just why we need to continue to sustainably manage our forests.
So the title of your organization is Forest Ontario. As you just mentioned, that you operate with other partners across Canada. Ontario is a big province. It's a big place. The forest situation, if I can call it that, in eastern or southwestern Ontario is a lot different than way up north near Hudson Bay. So how do you work with those different kinds of forests?
Yeah, so certainly, you know, most of our attention is on areas that are highly fragmented areas that haven't had forests on them for some time. So certainly that pretty much describes a lot of southern Ontario, where there's abandoned fallow agricultural fields that, you know, once potentially had forests on them and no longer do. And so we focus a lot of our tree planting efforts on establishing new forests on areas such as that. Certainly when we look at northern Ontario and the crown lands, northern Ontario's land, public lands or crown lands are managed under the legislation of the Crown Forest Sustainability Act. And it is the forest industry and the Ministry of Natural Resources that oversees that, that ensures that those forests, those crown and public forests, are managed sustainably. And in fact, here in Ontario, we probably have the best managed forests in the world because of the rigor of the Crown Forest Sustainability Act and certainly the compliance that's required from that. And as well, you know, the third-party audits that are performed on those forests that those third parties are indicating how well our forests are managed. So it really is our focus in Ontario is on those fragmented landscapes. Most of them are privately owned. And so those are the areas that we want to get new forests established on.
Okay. For the benefit of our American listeners or listeners around the world, the Crown lands are public lands owned by the nation or by the province. So do you focus on, as you say, landowners that have a substantial amount of land, or is it fine grain down to, say, somebody in the urban center that might want a handful of trees? What size of land do you normally look at when you're looking at reforestation?
Yeah, so generally with our afforestation programs, we are looking at larger rural-type tree planting activities. We will plant areas with as low as 500 trees on a given area under our 50 million tree program, which is applicable for Ontario. And then, you know, beyond that, it's the bigger the property, the better. And again, these are areas that haven't had trees on them for some time, and we're trying to establish the new forest cover within those areas. Certainly with urban forests, we recognize the value of urban forests and the benefits that even individual trees can have to the urban community. And we certainly work to profile the benefits of those trees and working with our urban partners to ensure that we have the appropriate trees available for them to plant through working with nurseries and such in our seed collection programs.
So obviously you've got an outreach component and your research and reports are available to anyone that goes to your website or contacts you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Now, you mentioned partnering with different groups. I assume Indigenous groups is a key component of that, especially in certain areas. How is it that you are able to work with those groups? Do you send people, or are there volunteers, or is it, you know, via some sort of communication? How do you work with those partners specifically?
Well, generally, you know, we'll have tree planting experts or forestry experts, registered professional foresters, that will go out and meet with First Nation representatives. We've actually done a lot of work with Six Nations and worked with those folks, and they have established a nursery there. We've assisted with their seed collection programs and as well working with them to plant trees within their own First Nation. And so it really is a question of how much the First Nation actually wants to do on their particular lands. And, you know, we're there to offer assistance where we can. Certainly in working with Six Nations, our hope is with those folks Kainasay in particular, which is the operation that runs their nursery, is to have folks that are trained to go out and, as I said, plant on their own lands, but also even become a planting agency for landowners outside of the First Nation lands. Mm-hmm. So we really, it's not a one size fits all by any means, and certainly we're more than happy to engage with First Nations to talk about what their needs are, and certainly we've got a program we're going to be launching this spring called the CISO Ontario Reconciliation Community Tree Plants. And with that program, we're going to be going on to some First Nation lands and inviting the community to come out and plant trees as a community, bringing elders and youth out, potentially folks from outside of the First Nation, to get together and plant trees. But what better way to work towards reconciliation than establishing new forests on the landscape?
And what's your relationship with the province of Ontario? Obviously, you're called Ontario Forest, so is there a relationship there?
Yeah, so actually it's Forest Ontario, but that's okay. We've had a very positive relationship with the province in the past. They, of course, had supported the 50 million tree program for many years, and so we were very grateful for that. And we continue to work with the province in providing education opportunities to our youth to potentially address some of the labor challenges that our forestry sector is having. Certainly working with the province to profile the awareness and how well we manage our forests here in Ontario. So, we really have enjoyed our relationship with the province with those types of programs, and look forward to continuing with the province to help highlight those programs for us.
You mentioned the 50 million tree program. Can you expand a little bit? And is 50 million trees, sounds like a big number, but is that enough?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's a great start. I think it was very interesting just this past summer, the amount of focus that has been put on tree planting. Certainly during the federal election, there was a lot of talk about tree planting, and certainly Prime Minister Trudeau identified that his government's committed to planting 2 billion trees over the next 10 years. And certainly we've heard from other jurisdictions around the world, very large targets of tree planting. And I think it's just fantastic that there's been so much focus and attention and awareness of how important our forest is and how important it is to establish new forests. And certainly as we see climate change progressing, people recognize that planting trees is a pretty effective way to sequester carbon and in part address climate change. It's not the one magic bullet, but it certainly can add a lot to addressing the climate change demands right now and on making sure that we're sequestering as much CO2 out of the atmosphere as possible.
It's also a very tangible thing to do. You can see it. You can, when we talk climate change and even air pollution, it's hard to define it and capture that notion because it's unseen, but when you're talking planting millions of trees, that's something that you can stand back and look and say, hey, this is great. I also read recently that boreal forests around the world capture more CO2 than Amazon and other tropical forests. Have you got any statistics to verify that, or what's your impression on that?
It doesn't surprise me that certainly the boreal forests are a great stronghold for CO2, and it's just probably more stating the obvious that as we plant trees and as we see trees being maintained and being healthy, that it's those healthy growing trees that continue to sequester CO2 out of the atmosphere. And so again, the more we can establish new forests on the landscape, that will optimize how much CO2 we're actually sequestering out of the atmosphere, and then maintaining that CO2 within the tree during the lifespan of the tree. And I think the other part of the discussion, and certainly the awareness that's growing, is even beyond the life of the tree, when we see sustainably managed forests harvesting trees and then that timber or that carbon is being maintained in that wood product beyond the life of the tree. I think it's just such a great news story. And we're seeing all sorts of initiatives now being undertaken, including tall wooden buildings that speak to the benefit of using wood products in locking up that CO2 permanently in that wood product.
And you mentioned, you know, maintaining and a healthy tree, because a lot of people think, you know, they have this vision of the tree planters that go up north. They get paid by how many seedlings they throw in the ground. The unknown factor is you can't just throw it in the ground and hope that nature provides enough water. You've got to maintain it. You've got to go back and check. So do you have a program where you monitor the progress of the trees that you plant?
Absolutely, Lawson. You know, it's such a great point. It is so important to make sure that once the trees are planted, well, first of all, I'll back it up. It's so important to make sure that the right trees are being planted in the right space and on the right site, you know, matching the site to the tree species, ensuring that it's native trees that are being planted. So right away, you're giving that tree the best chance it has of surviving. But then after the tree plant is planted, so important to make sure that, you know, that the trees are doing well. There potentially could be competition that's impacting the growth of the tree. And so you want to be able to address that. If for whatever reason you have a drought condition that impacts, again, the life of the tree, you want to be able to go back and if you've lost some trees to replace them to ensure that you're going to achieve that healthy forest down the road. So it really is important to get back, and we do survival assessments after the tree plant to just make sure and to follow up and monitor how those trees are doing. The other aspect of this that is becoming more important than ever with the monitoring is how the trees are adapting to climate change. We know, and we've seen it already, where conditions are changing, growing conditions are changing. We're seeing areas that are getting more drought or getting less rain than before. We're seeing areas that are getting more rain than before. So it really is important to monitor and record how well those trees are adapting to climate change and bringing that back to the fact where we collected the seed to grow the trees to plant. Knowing where the seed was collected is so important with all of that to then be able to go or not collect that seed again. And again, it's an adaptive process and very iterative, and we have to just have to make sure that we are monitoring our efforts to be able to adapt to the climate change as it progresses.
So you're saying that where the seeds come from, where the mother tree comes from, affects where those seeds can be planted? I can't take a tree from up in the northern part of Ontario and plant it in my backyard and think that it'll succeed?
Absolutely. That's exactly correct. You know, the when you consider even within the same species, say white pine, you collect seed from a particular tree. You could be collecting seed from down southern Ontario. You could be collecting white pine from northern Ontario. The seed that's produced by the white pine in those different areas has adapted. The tree has adapted to those local growing conditions. And because of that, it's very important that we then match the growing conditions of where that seed was collected from to where the seedlings are going to be planted out to. And, you know, it's a chain of custody, essentially, of the seed. So the seed to seedling to where it gets planted, and then the observation and monitoring of how well it's doing, again, to look at climate change. But it is so key to be able to go back to the origin of where that tree came from, i.e. the seed, to then be able to respond appropriately to how they are doing when we plant them.
Do you have more information like that on your website or through some of your publications?
We do, absolutely. We have several publications that speaks to the history of seed and the importance of the chain of custody of seed. We have a paper on alternative afforestation techniques. And we also have one, a paper that was just released. It was done by Green Analytics, and it speaks to the economic benefits of tree planting, specifically our 50 million tree program, the economic benefits of that, the societal benefits, and certainly the ecological goods and services that are derived from our tree planting efforts.
And do you go out and make presentations to different groups that might be interested?
All the time. We the part of our, the community engagement and the awareness is being able to go out and talk to folks and talk about, the state of our forests and the health of the forest and what people can do to help get more forests established on the landscape, and certainly be able to wave a flag for some of our tree planting programs and identify our local partners that folks can contact if they're interested in getting trees planted on their property.
You also have a program called Forestry in the Classroom. How do the kids react when you want to come and talk to them about trees? Do they get it?
They really do. It's so fantastic to be able to engage with grades of all levels and talk about trees. And when you start talking about tree ID or how the tree grows or the wildlife habitat that trees provide, the purification of air that trees provide. I mean, all of those things. The kids are just enamored by all the values that our trees do provide. And certainly, when you can bring in a seedling for the youth to look at and provide that seedling to them to go out and tree plant somewhere. They want to nurture it. They realize it's a living entity and something that they really want to take care of. So it's just it's a great opportunity to reach into the classroom and engage those youths. And as I said at the beginning of our discussion, hopefully engage some of them enough that they gain a passion for the environment, for trees, to then want to nurture our forests in the future.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a fantastic program.
It really is. Yeah.
Now, when we're recording this, the headlines are filled with the fires that are devastating New South Wales and Australia and different parts of Australia. That must be heartbreaking for you and the folks in your organization. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it really does point to the fact that we need to be more proactive than ever now to ensure that we get those forests reestablished. We do that through our national program called Forest Recovery Canada, in which we do go into areas and we look at, where we can optimize our tree planting activities to potentially bring back those forests that have been impacted by climate change. The other aspect of this is that certainly in our boreal forests, fire is a natural disturbance of the boreal forests. But what we've seen more recently, and certainly in BC and Ontario, the fires that have been occurring are far more frequent and far more intensive than what we've seen in the past. So they really are having a negative impact beyond the natural disturbance to a lot of the forest that we have out there. So again, it just means that we need to be more aggressive with our forest restoration, our forest recovery efforts to get those forests back. And it may be that we're going to have to go back to the area a few times to plant trees and establish trees so that we do have a healthy forest for the future.
At the top of the program, you mentioned that you're a nonprofit organization. So give me an idea who works there, how many people, what the components are. Do you have a volunteer contingent? And let's drill down a little bit about how people can find out a bit more about Forests Ontario.
Sure. So certainly, if anybody wants to go to our website, www.forestontario.ca, a lot of information there. Here at our office, we have about 16 people, but our strength is really our partnership with all the conservation authorities and stewardship groups and First Nations that we work with, as I said, here in Ontario and certainly right across Canada. And it's a collaboration of our efforts, that we coordinate here in the office and working with these great partners right across Canada. That's why we're able to be successful, and that's why we're able to get so many trees planted, is because of everybody cooperating within and having an appreciation and recognizing the need to get more forests established. And not to forget about the landowners out there as well, that they're offering their lands to get trees planted on them for societal benefit. So, as an integral partner to all of this is the landowners that contribute their lands for the tree planting.
So if we know the importance of trees and reforestation, why is the government not giving us seedlings for free? Why do we still have to pay for these things?
Well, in fact, the 50 million program right now, it provides funding to our partners to do professional tree planting, which is going to have the greatest benefit or the greatest success rates that we've seen that through studies. And so we're working with those, but it's really to reduce the cost to the landowner. So it creates the incentive for the landowner to want to plant trees on their property. And so we've tried to reduce that cost as much as possible. So we are getting government support for that. And within that, we're also getting great corporate support. And as well, we get people that are donating funds every year to help support those programs. So everybody has an opportunity to contribute here. And so it's a collaborative effort between government, corporations, and the private sector to provide the funding, to reduce the cost to landowners, to create the incentive for the landowner to plant trees on their property. And again, we do that with professional tree planters who can go out, assess the site, figure out the best species for it, order the stock, again, making sure it's native stock, seed source material. They oversee planters coming in to plant. And these folks are planting 1,000 to 2,000 trees each per day. So it is hard work. And to get that kind of volume planted, you have to have very dedicated people to do it. So the trees get planted, then there's a follow-up quality assessment to how well the trees were planted, and then the follow-up monitoring that we talked about. So it's a full package to try to minimize the work to landowners. All that being said, this year we do have what we're calling an over-the-counter program as well, where landowners can go in and pick up trees themselves to plant for themselves, and they may not have the number of trees, minimum number of trees required for the 50 million program, but they still want to plant trees. So that becomes available to landowners as well. If they want to plant a couple hundred on their own, hey, that's great. And we greatly, greatly appreciate that effort from landowners and want to make it as easy as possible to get more forests established.
I've been speaking with Rob Keane, CEO of Forest Ontario, and basically you've answered the question that I had, who speaks for the forest? Because your mission at Forest Ontario is to be the voice of Ontario's forests. Again, give us that website so that people can find out more, Rob.
Yeah, www.forestontario.ca.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us on Earth Matters, Rob.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. I'd also like to encourage you to like, rate, and share Earth Matters with others so that our work can reach a larger audience. Thanks for listening.